And Drew Brees and the Saints offense come out. Drew, just 35 yards away from the all-time passing record. 2:46 remaining here in the second half in a drive. As the Saints have no timeouts, you would expect to have some passing going on.
Some passing going on, but 2 minutes and 46 seconds, that's an eternity. If I'm Sean Payton, go for it right here.
You want it right
here.
You want it all.
Right here, right now. Hard play action. And I want deep crosses or deep posts right here.
Ball spotted at the Saints' 38-yard line. First and 10, 2:46 remaining. Saints lead it 20-6. Brees is completed. Passes to eight different receivers already. He starts in the shotgun, drops back, looks to the far sideline, wide open, Traquan Smith. And Traquan Smith is going to go to the end zone. Drew Brees has done it. You have just witnessed history in New Orleans. Drew Brees is the NFL's all-time leading passer.
What's up, Who Dat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and my drunk scale rating is a zero, but I am drinking a Big Easy IPA because it is breezy in the Big Easy. It was a record-breaking night, and everybody showed up for the party, even the defense. Mark Ingram returned in glorious fashion. Taysom Hill got himself a little TD. Traquan Smith got two of them, right, including the one that will forever live in infamy. Cam Jordan and Marcus Davenport brought the pressure. Harris got a pick, almost six, and even Sheldon Rankins showed up. The crowd was a playoff atmosphere, from what I hear, for a celebratory night. That's a tongue twister. And we're going
to
talk about it.
Easy for you to say.
Right. And we're going to talk about it right after we find out who's with us, so put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I am a zero, but I am celebrating with a nice glass of wine.
Oh.
Two straight weeks of wine for me. And also, it wasn't Harris that had the interception, just so you know. Classic. Yeah.
Who was it?
Oh. When did he say,
Harris. He said Harris. That's okay. Let it roll. We're celebrating. Let it roll.
Who was it, though? Oh, fucking
Hardy.
I knew it started with an H, though.
So swimmy. Slippy. Slappy. Swanson.
Maybe it's on the briefcase. Look on the...
Oh, yeah! It's right here. Samsonite. I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Damon, welcome to the show. How are you feeling?
Oh, I'm very happy, Jeff. If that was that game is why we have season tickets. That's why you go to the games.
There you go. That's right. And then we have to celebrate with us tonight, Scott Greenbaum. Welcome to the show. Do you have a number, and how are you feeling?
I do not have a number. The wife is out of town in Houston, so I'm in charge of three kids, so I had to hold off the drinking at least till tomorrow when she gets back. But I'm feeling great. It was an awesome game to watch. Wish I could have been there. I had a lot of family and friends there. But it was, from what it came across on TV, everybody was, you know, I think you had even said that the crowd was really electric, so it looked great.
There you go. All right. And speaking of it, then, there's a lot to unpack from this week's game. So let's get into the game recap.
Hail to the Redskins! Hail victory! Praise on the warpath! Fight for all!
Mark Ingram comes back. Jason, you had said that according to the Washington podcast that you're number one fan of, said that Mark Ingram would accomplish nothing in this game.
That's not exactly what I said. You twisted my words around a little bit.
It's pretty close.
I said I thought it was going to be tough. Look, I did not expect a blowout of this magnitude.
But looking at your pick'ems, Jason, you don't really know much about football, so that doesn't surprise me.
No,
I wouldn't listen to anything you said.
I heard him say that last week on the show, and so, you know, they talk about how great their defense is, top seven, all this crap, and then I went and looked at their schedule. They played the Cardinals, the Colts, and the Packers. Not exactly a murderer's row of teams there.
And, yeah, that was the devil's advocate to my, just the, you know, statistical analysis, but we did a lot. I mean, Ingram, he only averaged 3 yards a carry, 2 touchdowns, and we committed to it. Clearly, they gave Kamara a rest after the first 4 weeks of all the touch that he got. Which is crazy when you think about it. We scored 43, and Kamara did basically nothing.
But you look at Ingram did what we needed him to do in the fourth quarter. I think we got the ball back with 8 minutes, eight something.
It was 10 minutes.
10:25 left.
And we just ran the ball, and we used passes in there, you know. And I think we even had a Hill special, but we ran the ball with Ingram, and that lesson. That's what we need. Mark Ingram,
100%.
Sign the man.
I kind of agree with you. Yeah,
we need that closeout back. That's what he is, and he was it. You could tell. You know, they always say that he played with enthusiasm, and we heard of angry Ingram. You know, and man, you know, he was just. You could watch his play last night, and could tell he was glad to be home and glad to be on that field and not watching it on TV. So, and yeah, I think he brings a level to that offense that we need to be successful.
Absolutely. And it showed that there was, like I said, everybody had a whole lot of reason to get up for the night. And it showed with the first hit of the game, P.J. Williams on Adrian Peterson.
Yeah.
I thought he sent him out of the league.
With I mean, he right. crushed him. It wasn't quite the hit on Bush in the playoff game in 06, but
AP's leg was hyperextended. If you watched, I'm surprised he came back in the game. And look, I think we remember 2006. Sean Payton said it's going to be a special night. It's not special if you don't win.
Yep.
And like Jason, I think we were all scared going in. Look, if you're a Saints fan and you know the history with the Washington Redskins over the last 12 years, you know, you had to be scared. The play is tough. Again, beat us in 12. That was out Sean Payton. You know, 2009 Super Bowl year, we had to have the meteor round to pull off the victory in overtime. And then last year, we had to have 15 points in the fourth quarter, with I think under 5 minutes remaining to get the victory.
To tie us into the overtime.
Right.
That's in addition to Alex Smith beating us on other teams.
Right. Let's not talk about that.
I said teams. I'm thinking of Kansas City.
In person.
I think the thing that did it for us was that we played them on Columbus Day. So I don't believe in coincidences, but the Indians, the Braves, and the Redskins all lost yesterday on Columbus Day. I'm just saying.
Oh, God.
Are you saying that
man.
Native Americans have a problem with Columbus?
Probably, I would.
Probably
do. Probably a little bit.
If I owned a casino, I probably wouldn't make it a holiday.
Everybody feels bad for Indians. They get dogged openly because everybody thinks they're dead. These motherfuckers are not all dead, all right? I've seen, with my own eyes, I've seen a gathering of 1,500 Native Americans. They were all gathered in one place. The place is called Walmart in New Mexico.
Another thing to point out is, you know, aside from the fumble, every drive ended with points, except for, you know, the half in the game. You know,
but right. So 7 of 10 possessions ended in score for the Saints.
Yeah,
no
punts. Like you said, no punts. And like you said, the last drive, we knelt it in the red zone. I think we're at the 20 when Bridgewater came in.
That was going to be a touchdown if there was enough time.
Oh yeah, right. I think he should have went for it, got the 500 touchdown, scored 50 points. I mean,
why not?
Rub their face in it. Fuck it. The old Sean Payton would have done that. Or if we were playing Atlanta, he'd have done it.
Oh, yeah. If we were playing Atlanta, we'd have done it. Yeah.
Yeah. He'd have run up the score, got the breathe, and yeah.
Did you hear
or
Sean
Minnesota.
Payton? Yeah. Did you hear Sean Payton's post-game press conference talking about the, I think it was at Morstead, and saying how he had a bunch of family come to the game, and they were excited to see him kick, and well, I mean, at least they got to see him hold, I guess. Like, damn, Sean Payton's cracking jokes in the post game. But what else? All cylinders fired.
And look, the crowd was electric from the get go. I mean, dude, Michael Thomas came out wearing a fucking ski mask. Like, holy shit!
What was that about? Into that.
Well, he came out wearing a ski mask, guys.
I don't get that, though. Like, what's the relevance?
Just letting them know he's business, fuck.
He might have been robbing a bank before he got to this right. dome and forgot to take it off.
Right.
It's... He robbed fucking Josh Norman's bank. That motherfucker was pissed off.
It was Indians there. I'd never seen Indians before. I wasn't even sure if they were Indians. It's fucked up, but I asked one of them. It's not nice, but I seen him in the sports section. Looking at bows and arrows. I had to say something. Excuse me.
What happened to Josh Norman? I mean, I don't...
He had one good year,
career, but a couple years ago, he was supposed to be the best corner in the league, and they sent him to the bench in the second quarter and never let him back on the field.
I mean, he's like their second or third corner now. I mean, he's nothing. He's getting paid like a star.
He's getting paid huge.
Yeah. Remember when we almost snuck in the guy in the last second?
Thank God.
Thank God
we didn't get him. I mean, what happened? And it's not like their other corners are fucking, you know, a reincarnation of Deion Sanders. I mean,
no, and I mean, he's only 30, so it's not like he's 35 and washed up, but fuck, maybe he's washed up. I mean, his busted coverage led to the long Drake.
I mean, our wide receivers were wide open all night. You can blame it on the DBs, but it's really us up front that need to get pressure. And when you get pressure, DBs don't have to cover as much. So, you know, they weren't throwing deep because I think they were getting a lot of pressure on Smith. You know, the announcers on TV kept saying, why aren't they trying to throw deep? You know, they've been torched deep, but really, he didn't really have a lot of time to throw.
Yeah.
And especially with Lattimore out, like, once he went out early, you're like, oh, fuck.
Right.
Yeah, I texted Jeff, and I was like, we're screwed.
Yeah, we weren't.
I think Hardy did a fine job.
He did good enough. Now, the good thing is, I mean, you know, Washington's two best receivers are their scat back Chris Thompson and their tight end. And we pretty much limit them. I mean, their receivers are shit. So that kind of worked in our favor when we lost Lattimore. It's not like we were going up against a Julio or even though he didn't score touchdowns or like, you know, a true stud receiver. Well, you know, that did help. But we made it a point to shut down Jordan Reed, and Reed had one catch.
What tribe are you from?
I am a Navajo. I said, word. I studied you in social studies. You're a hunter-gatherer, correct? He said, I guess so. That's what you wish to call it. I said, why? What do you call it? He said, I am an alcoholic.
Let's not overlook our run defense is fantastic.
We are stout.
If I'm not mistaken, we're leading the league. We have the number one run defense.
Yeah. You know, we have 39 yards rushing.
Yards per average. And that's what who saw that coming?
Yeah.
You know, Rankins got that big sack on Washington's second drive to keep it to a field goal. He seemed, to me, he seemed to be all over the place last night. Davenport is quietly having a very, very good
game. He is coming along nicely, and last night was, what, his best game of the year? I mean,
two straight games with a sack now.
Yeah.
But
speaking of the running game, you talk about that. There was this one particular play. Scott, that's the one I texted you on, where towards the end of the game, and they run it to the outside, and Davenport just separated himself and just popped out to separate himself and kept the guy going for a loss instead of letting the guy beat him around the edge for the linebacker to pick him up or something. I mean,
he's fast.
It's like, boom, no, you're not. You're not getting around this edge.
But
and it was like a good like yard and a half to 2 yards that he popped out and caught the running back. I mean, it was awesome. It was beautiful.
I feel like he's done that a couple times. He's been like, I remember that preseason game against the Chargers. I think it was the first game he played. Like, he didn't do much, but there was a running play where he shot out and stopped the guy and
the guy ran past him and he reached back and grabbed him. I know which one you're talking about.
So, I mean, he looks fucking, he looks legit.
No, you know, again, he caused the hit on the quarterback, that the fumble that AJ Klein got.
Mr. Coach Klein?
Yeah. I mean, that was Davenport.
Coach Klein had to go knock out Marshawn Lattimore.
You know who Brian Baldringer is?
Yeah. He jerks off to the Saints.
Oh, does he?
Oh, yeah. He loves the Saints.
He loves them from Kamara, and apparently now he loves them from Davenport.
He loves them from Davenport. Right. So if you go on Twitter, you can find him at Baldy NFL. Anyway, he has a good breakdown of Davenport.
I thought you didn't use Twitter.
Well, it was on something else, and they posted it. Yeah, they posted like it on a message board.
It was all sitting around. Them Indians was beating the drum. Some other Indians came out the back with a long blanket that was folded in half and put in front of us. Open that shit up. And on the blanket was a long wooden pipe with feathers. And bags of weed were all over the blanket. Chief walked over.
The big ones are 50. The little ones are 25. And these are 10.
After having such a big workload the first four games with Ingram out, it doesn't surprise me that Sean Payton wanted to take some of the workload. It's a long season. Ingram's fresh. Let's give him the ball.
Yeah.
And Ingram does not, you know, he doesn't look like he didn't look to me like he needs four games to get into football shape. Look like whatever he was doing during his time off, he was staying in shape and to get back.
But it was interesting to see with not a lot of Kamara that she had more people getting involved, even though he had the fumble. Meredith, 5 catches, 70 yards. Tre'Quan Smith finally had his big breakout game.
You know, with Ginn out and Tre'Quan going off, and then even when Ginn was playing the past couple of games having the dropsies, how much time do you think he's going to get?
Ginn. Tre'Quan or Ginn?
Well, Ginn, you know, is Tre'Quan the new Ginn that can catch?
I say leave him in. Give it to the hot hand. I mean, the motherfucker had 111 yards and 2 touchdowns on his coming out party. And he caught everything thrown to him.
And look, isn't everything...
something Ginn doesn't do.
Isn't everything downhill for him after his first touchdown?
His first touchdown was in the fucking Hall of Fame.
That's what I'm saying. Isn't everything after that downhill? I mean, you know, he should just retire. Just retire now.
It's funny. Like, you know, when you score your first touchdown, you try to... You know, they let you keep the ball. That ain't happening. He's never going to see that ball again.
Oh, he can visit it.
Oh, he can go visit it.
He can go visit it. He can go visit it, yeah.
When you watch the highlight, it's probably more of Smith than it is Drew Brees. I mean, all Drew Brees did was throw the ball. I mean, Tre'Quan Smith couldn't get to the house.
All right, well, why don't we talk about the elephant in the room?
All right, so what were you doing when it happened? Did you know? Did you guys in the stadium know that?
Yeah,
he was only 35 yards. Was there like a countdown or something on the scoreboard?
Yeah, I mean, there wasn't a countdown, but you know, our new Jumbotron, you know, they keep running the stats of everything. You know, we all knew we needed 201 going into the game. You know, you just every time they passing yards, you just subtract it from 201. I had actually went down to relieve myself, and
you didn't do it quick, right?
right, and I said he's going to do it now. I wanted to get a beverage. I said no. I said because he's going to do it. If I go to that damn counter, that son of a bitch is going to throw it, and I'm going to miss it. And all I want to do is watch it fucking play. So I ran and I stood in the breezeway. The breezeway, you know. Into the stadium when he threw it, and it was just, it was not quite up there, but it was up there. It was one of the more magical moments I've been in the Dome. You know, the crowd was, everybody was anticipating it. Everybody knew, you know, I mean, as soon as the pass was caught, I think everybody knew the record was broken. You know, I mean, you could hear just the fans and the
fans. Well, that was my other question.
Like, we broke it. That was like, broke the record.
My other question was, did you know,
while
it was in the air even, that like, oh, fuck, it's happening? Because I kind of, even watching it on TV, I was sitting there, they were talking about, they showed how the family and Ms. Benson came down and they were walking and I was sitting on the couch and I was telling Andre, I was like, so if he's got 35 yards, I mean, this drive, he's going to do it or whatever. And we were just kind of sitting there. And on that first play, once you saw Smith open, it's like, and you saw that he was going to catch it, I'm like, oh, shit, he's going for it all right now on this play. He's just going to go for it. And it was awesome. Yeah. I don't think I sat down for the rest of the quarter after that, even in the living room.
It was There was only 2 minutes, 2:35 left. I mean, you didn't, you know.
No, but
don't
pat
yourself. Don't
pat
yourself
on the back. The celebration and all that. Yeah, that's a good 7 minutes.
No, everybody in the dome was on their feet. Everybody was clapping and happy and, you know, watching it. Like I said, I compare it up to Gleason's kick.
The Minnesota NFC Championship kick, Hartley kick.
Right. The Hartley kick, you know. The fire in the Superdome that fell from the ceiling. I was there for that too. You know, I mean, all these memorable.
That had a different feeling though.
A different feeling, but you know, something you remember. You know,
I was there for that game. I remember that.
But no, it was, and they stopped the game. They did all the celebrating. It was like I said. I mean, that's. And look, let me some of the new Saints fans. Let me put a little perspective for y'all. Fans like us, you know, like me, who knows the history, been following the team since, you know, before 2005, like Jason and Jeff. You know, the only record we had back then was Tom Dempsey's longest field goal. That's the only record the Saints had of positivity. You know, before Drew Brees got here. That's the only record when they, you know, didn't have any passing yard leader or touchdown leaders or rushing. We just had the 63-yard kick by a man with half a foot. So to have Breeze come in, and now when you talk about the Saints, you can talk about all these good records and great times we're having. So to me, that's what makes it so special.
Well, and that's what, like, I really got emotional thinking about it. It's like, I mean, 20 years ago, like there's no chance in hell if somebody would have said to you,
the Saints would have the greatest,
the quarterback who was going to have the most passing yards in the history of the league is going to be a New Orleans Saint.
Nice.
I mean, with all the dregs at quarterback that we've had over the years.
Remember the Billy Joe?
No possible fucker. I'd have let you kick me in the balls.
Yeah, in 3 years, didn't Mike Ditka go through like five quarterbacks or something?
Right. We talked ourselves into Billy Joe Hobert. We're like, yeah, he's all right. He's decent. We talked ourselves into Billy Joe Hobert. Like, that's all you need to know. Like, so to sit here and have Breeze, to be able to have watched Breeze do this over the last 13 years is just, I don't think we're truly going to appreciate it until he's gone. But, like, I've kind of been, you know, that these past, you know, year or so, when I realized, holy shit, the end's near, really trying to enjoy and appreciate everything that he does, because we're never ever going to see a guy like this again, ever.
No.
I can remember, and this is what made me think of it, watching it, too. I mean, when Brett Favre did it, when Peyton Manning did it, and they did the celebration and all that. I remember watching and just being like, man, how awesome would that be if it was our quarterback, our team, at the time, and it being like, it sucks that's never going to fucking happen for us. You know, and you like firmly 100% believe it. And I mean, you think about it, most teams and the fans, that's a true statement. I mean, it only happens like once every blue moon. Now, maybe in the new NFL where you can't even look in the general direction of a wide receiver. That's the only thing I get worried about is how long is Drew Brees going to hold this record? Because I can see
in the new NFL,
this is not going to be a major accomplishment.
Well, you're right. It's breaking fast. Cause like Fran Tarkenton held the record for 25, 26 years until Marino broke it in 95. And Marino only held it like 11 years to Favre broke it, or, you know, and then Favre only held it two or three years to Manning broke it, and Manning, we all know, held it for 1,000 days, right? So right. Breeze broke it. But if you look at where the current quarterback stands, it's going to be these young quarterbacks that's going to break it. I think Breeze will have it a little longer, because even Noodle Arm Shit Pants, you know, would have to play for the next 5 or 6 years, averaging 300 yards a game, which isn't going to happen. you know, Big Ben, all those guys are so are pretty contemporary.
Like anybody who could, right, who could challenge him right. at this moment
right.
are
right.
The too closest far is in Brady. Their career and too far away.
Right. The closest is Brady, but Brady's a year older than
Brady's
Drew.
2 years older. And he's still like, and, what, 4,000 or 5,000 yards behind him?
Right. He's like 4,500 yards behind. And Brees is still, you know, he's still putting up numbers. You know,
he's slinging it. He's playing right. like an MVP.
Right, right. He's going to add another 5,000 yards to the record.
Yeah,
you know,
it's going to take a long time. And look, you don't know right. what's. I mean, it takes a lot of longevity. I mean, these guys are going to have to play yeah. until they're 36, 30, 38, 39 years old, and not and have any injuries.
Right, and have the consistency. You know, there have been 9 5,000 yard seasons in the NFL, and Drew Brees has 5 of those.
Yeah,
right.
Who's gonna do that? I mean, even like Mahomes, if he played for 10 years and threw 4,000 yards a year, that's only 40,000 yards.
Oh, he's
right. He's half. He's still only halfway there. Halfway there.
Right, and I mean, you know, like y'all said, Brees has still got, you know, a couple years. If he puts up another,
I mean, but here's the thing. Or go ahead.
But if he puts up a couple, you know, more 3,000-4,000 yard seasons, he can easily add 10,000 or 12,000 yards to that record.
That's as long as he doesn't win the Super Bowl this year. Because if he wins the Super Bowl this year, it's done. He's going to retire. I'm convinced of that.
I agree with you on that.
So, to me, I'm going to go into this thinking that this is the last year he's going to be able to pad his numbers because we're winning the fucking Super Bowl. It's going to be bittersweet. Right. It's going to be a bittersweet win, right? Because
I don't know. He might come back. You know, this is a young team. You know, a young team.
And what I've seen in these 5 games, Drew Brees he's got at least 6 more years left in him.
I mean, look, he's the only QB in the league without an interception so far.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, Jason.
Way to go.
Everybody, right. I'm
good job.
Classic, Jason. It's all fault Jason. For
you. It's your fault.
Well, hey, at least he's going to go one more week without one.
Da-dum-tsh.
Well, all right. That's anything else to say about the record? Oh, yeah, plenty.
you know, when I was watching it at my house and my son was sitting with me, now he's only 2, so he doesn't know what the hell's going on, but it was nice to...
Jason's 40 and he don't know what's going on either, so...
Good point. But it was nice to sit there with him. I wish he was a little older where he could appreciate it, but, you know, seeing Drew go to the sideline and hug his boys and tell them, you know, so you can accomplish anything through hard work, I mean...
Come on, that was a stage line. He knew he was that kind of. That was a little too cheesy. He knew he was mic'd up. That was cheesy enforced. I mean,
well, he says he said after the game he said after the game he tells them that every night before they go to bed. So I'm gonna believe the guy. He's the GOAT.
I'll tell you why I believe him in this case and not. You know, I agree with David that he is a bit disingenuous at times, or he's Mr. Politician and he's polished and he's rehearsed and all that. Yes, okay. Right. But this was a genuine moment because when he's telling that story and he's talking about it, the emotional tears in his eyes, choked up, talking about it, that's genuine honesty. Like, you know what I mean? You can't fake that. In that moment, instead of going to his children and saying, "Your daddy's the best, I'm the greatest," instead it was, "Learn from this, guys. If you work hard, you can do this." I mean, like the announcers even said, let that sink in.
Great. It was great. He kissed his wife, and she said, "All right, now go win the game."
Yeah.
What was on the certificate he was carrying around?
I don't think it just said Drew Brees, you know.
But I thought the referee
that was kind of fucking corny. Does he really need a fucking certificate?
It said right. It said you will now be charged with excessive celebration.
Yeah, that was some fucking bullshit right there.
Yeah.
The NFL stopped the fucking game for the fucking celebration and then said, flag on the play. Classic Roger Goodell. Seriously though, like, what was it? Was it for the team jumping up and down? I mean, was it specific?
I think so.
But still, let's be honest. An excessive celebration on a touchdown enforced on the kickoff doesn't matter.
Right.
I agree. It shouldn't. Have been
It didn't hurt us, but still, it was a.
It's the principle.
An asshole trying to take a moment away.
Yeah.
It was a great moment. Now, before we get to Twitter, and I don't know if y'all have more to say about the. I'm not sure how much of the talking heads y'all got to listen to today or last night, but I found there to be a lot of Drew Brees disrespect. Everybody was giving him his props, but then of course the natural question,
I don't know if this was a Twitter question or not. I don't think it's Twitter.
I think it's the NFL Network. And what was it?
Maurice Jones-Drew.
Yeah, MJD. What a fucking idiot.
I don't know if, Damon, like we've talked about in the past, a lot of people, or you just saw the one guy, MJD, multiple times.
But no, there were others.
Ryan Clark was going off on whatever a fucking show that is on ESPN in the morning. He was
first take.
Give the man his props. He's fantastic. Right. Well, I mean, give him fuck you right. for one. Fuck you. I don't fucking right. fuck them. Don't even fucking talk. I'm beeping their names out.
Right. Well. First of all, I guess you're right. Don't even give them the satisfaction.
It just verifies why I don't watch that fucking network.
But hold on. But like I said, you know, they were so many people said, oh, he's not even in the top five. He's not in the top 10. And they kept giving all these stupid fucking reasons. Oh, he plays in a dome. And
Peyton Manning played in a dome.
Well, of course. But that doesn't help their argument. So they don't say, well, so did Peyton Manning back in the day with Marino. One of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. You know, Warren Moon, one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time that doesn't get enough fucking respect. Warren Moon was an accurate pass-throwing motherfucker. And so then you go to Super Bowls. You know, that was the knock against Marino. Well, he doesn't have any Super Bowls.
But that's the same thing they're trying to use against Breeze, is that he hasn't won enough Super Bowls?
Enough Super Bowls, right. Now he has to win multiple.
Right. You're not good enough unless you win multiples.
Listen, we play in the toughest division in the NFL. Since 2002, when the NFC South was formed, it is the only division to have all four teams go to the Super Bowl.
Right. And so who plays in the AFC South? The Texans, the Jaguars, and the Titans. The Jaguars and Texans have been the fucking doormat of the NFL for at least, what, how long? Last 15 years? 20 years? The AFC East has the Jets, the Bills, the Dolphins, the AFC East. You know, what the fuck has any of those 16? So Indianapolis was winning. No shit. Look at your fucking competition. And look, I hate the Falcons and fuck Carolina and Tampa Bay. You know, but they are good teams. You can't deny it. I mean, you know, I don't like them.
Mm-hmm.
But noodle arm shit pants, you know.
Let's go back to the other thing is about the whole Super Bowls and winning and all that stuff. At the end of the day, we've talked about this over the years, and it's a true thing that it's the whole Aaron Brooks argument too. The quarterback, yeah, it's an important position, but success is not only on his shoulders.
Right.
Tom Brady didn't walk in and take on every team that they beat in the Super Bowl and do it by himself with no coaches and no other players. It was a team effort. Same thing with success and failure is a team. So you do measure statistical performance as a big part of the equation when you're trying to say who's the best at their position.
Well, and, I mean, the fact that we were saddled with not only bad defenses, but the historically worst defenses ever. The fact that he dragged those teams to 7 wins in America is a miracle in and of itself.
Right.
It's not like he had any Hall of Fame wide receivers either. I mean, we had some good ones, but...
Jimmy Graham was the only All-Pro...
The only Pro Bowl. The only Pro Bowl. Not All-Pro, the only Pro Bowl. Nobody else made it to a Pro Bowl until Michael Thomas.
And look, I think we all agree that Marcus Colston deserved to make a fucking Pro Bowl. That was stupid that he didn't have it. But anyway, look, let me throw a little numbers out there. Let me throw some numbers for y'all. Yards per game, Tom Brady, 282. Peyton Manning, 295. Drew Brees, 309. Completion percentage, Brady, 64. Manning, 66. Brees, 70. And, motherfucker, I think he has 78 right now. He's going to break his own fucking record again. You know, passer ratings, okay? So that's a pretty even stat, passer rating, right? For careers, all these are career numbers. Brady, 99. Manning, 101. Drew Brees, 102. But where they've been beating him at is win percentage. And that's why I mentioned who they played with earlier. You know, those fucking 6 games a year.
Yeah, they had doormats.
Cocksuckers had to fucking walk through. Brady's win percentage, 773, Manning, 789, and Brees, 529. And look, y'all, we all said it, the worst defense in history, you know, history. So don't fuck yourself. And he, you know, he's not a top five, not a top ten, not a top five. Yeah, but he holds all these records, and if it was any of the other guys, y'all would be sucking their dick and licking their balls like it was fucking no tomorrow.
Yeah, they would.
You know? You'd look like Jason in the room with Aaron Brooks.
That was one time, damn it.
Well, okay, one time, but still, you know. You know, but they, but for the most part, everyone was very complimentary to Drew. I mean, you can't, you know, this is, I, you know, I don't know what record you want to put the most, you know, prestige on. But, you know, I mean, the completion percentage
is pretty fucking legit.
I'm with you, Jason. I mean, that's a pretty, you know, how accurate are you? How many times are you putting it in your, you know? So, anyway, so, I mean, I just wanted to get that out the way. I'm sure I'm sure most Saints fans were at least a little incensed by some of these, you know, retards. Like you said, Maurice Jones-Drew, who ain't never done a fucking thing. Did he even have a winning season?
And a lot incensed. I mean, I was pissed when I got to bed, started reading that shit last night. I'm like, fuck this motherfucker.
Right.
You know, on the positive side, they did have a lot of tweets from around the league.
More positive than negatives.
Yeah, J.J. Watt and Kirk Cousins and all these other people. And, of course, the Peyton Manning video was pretty fucking hilarious.
It was a great night to be in the Superdome. The memorable nights in the Dome, guys. I mean, this was awesome. Like Jason said, the crowd was fired up.
They were so fired up all night. It was awesome.
So drunk. Everybody was so drunk. Everybody was so drunk.
There was some tailgating going on. How many people didn't go to work yesterday or today? All right. Actually, we have a lot of tweets, obviously. A lot about the game. A lot about Drew Brees. A lot about the upcoming few weeks. So I'm going to move us. This conversation is going to continue in Look at Him Tweets. So we were just talking about the Drew Brees thing, so I'll try and kind of put those together. This one from Christian Mino says, how special do you think Traquan Smith feels for catching the record-breaking pass? And was anyone else kind of hoping that Michael Thomas would have been the one to catch it? Either way, I loved every second of that game. I could have sworn, and maybe it's my own brain playing tricks on me, but didn't we predict it would be Traquan Smith last week? I thought I said something about that.
I don't know.
I don't remember.
I don't remember.
But isn't it even cooler? I mean, you think about Traquan Smith, you know, we're not sure where his career is going to go, but, you know, I wish him the best, you know, with us and catching many more touchdowns. But that's a pretty special, you know, that's something that man's going to remember for the rest of his life. I mean, that's pretty cool, you know.
Yeah.
And I think Thomas' ceiling's a little higher. Maybe not. I don't know. I mean, you know, you can't predict. But I think that's pretty cool for Traquan Smith, I think. I kind of like, you know, that was his first touchdown. I mean, that's like you said.
I like the fact that he caught it. Like, think of all the pressure. Like, when he's going along, like, holy shit, this is it. Like, could you imagine if you're running down the field and you're like...
And you drop it?
Right.
Oh, fucking, yeah, too much pressure. Like
especially being
like
as open as he was.
All right, so then, staying with the Brees thing, law of numbers, Jim, this is, watch the game in Australia with my 3-year-old so that he could witness history. An incredible moment, defense improving each week, and do we have what it takes to go all the way this season?
Absolutely. We did it last week. Yes, we're improving every week. We know, come on, we said this in the beginning of the season, so we're not changing our tune. We knew we were going to get better every week.
But we didn't know that our
peak. It's when you're peaking.
But we didn't know the defense was – the secondary was going to be the kryptonite. I mean, you go deep.
Well, but they've gotten better.
They've gotten better. We lost pretty much one of our best defensive players in that game. And we, everybody stepped up.
Wide receivers.
Okay, but here's the thing. Here's what leaves me optimistic is Davenport. I mean, if Davenport can come out and all of a sudden now you've got a guy on – you've got Jordan on one side, obviously, all pro. But now if you're telling me you've got a guy on the other side that could get 8-9 sacks this year, you tell me you got that, it's a trickle-down effect for the rest of the defense.
Well, it's what we had said – someone had said earlier about defensive line. they were getting to him. They were getting after him. Defensive tackles, defensive ends, they're coming into their own, you know. And everything hinges on let's stay healthy, you know. Let's all say a prayer that these guys stay healthy.
All right. Going back to the Breeze thing, Ben Wright from the Saints UK podcast asked, was it all right to cry? I was feeling it last night. Don't know if it was the fact that it was 3 a.m. or the man himself.
Well, no, it's not all right to cry. It's Ben, God bless him, is English, and they're a little feminine, so that's probably why.
Oh,
you know,
God.
I mean, you know.
You can act like a man! What's the matter with you? Is this how you turn down a Hollywood Pinocchio that cries like a woman?
No offense to him. You know, it's all right for a man to cry, but not, you know. Like when you get your balls crushed in
not
a
for another
year
man.
Or something. Not for another man. Maybe like the birth of a child, you know.
I felt the specialness of the moment. I don't think my eyeballs leaked or anything, but...
But did you wee-wee leak like Jason's?
No.
Okay. What the fuck?
We talked if you said it on text yesterday.
You were wet.
You said you were wet. Oh, no, I thought I was wet.
Yeah, you got soaked, dickhead.
Yeah, I got soaked. I did soak myself. I did get soaked. That's one of the little
his
story.
Pants were soaking, those with no tears.
Doug and I, the quarter, and fucking we got finished eating, had to walk, I don't know, the 8 to 10 blocks of the dome. It was pouring fucking rain.
Yeah.
Well, what the fuck could you do, you know? But the night made up for it. You didn't even notice. The nice thing is the dome, they didn't have the air conditioning on. But of course, a lot of people, I mean, I saw pictures of people crying in the stands. No, of course. I mean, it was a big deal, and it just shows how much Breeze means to us as Saints fans. Like I said, we're going to miss that son of a bitch when he's gone.
All right. From Nick, NRG. And this was a big moment, folks. He says, that was the single best game I think I've ever seen Sean Payton call. And that is quite a statement coming from me. Very impressed with Coach. Hopefully more of that to come. So, Nick, glad to see you coming around to Sean Payton.
The only thing he did poorly was that shitty challenge. And even he admitted it. He's like, that's probably the worst challenge in 13 years. And that's saying something because he's had some bad challenges.
Is that a thing where he wants you – is it a rule once you throw the red flag, you have to challenge it? Because I would think even the ref had to have said, like, Coach, what? No.
Come on, guy.
Yeah, it was bad.
All right.
Well, it's amazing what Sean can do with a full arsenal of players.
Well, and motivation.
Look, undoubtedly, I mean, it's – Sean Payton has been the best play caller for the last 13 years in the NFL. You know, you might have, you know, someone do something, you know, Shanahan.
I know everybody's coming over Sean McVay this year.
And Sean McVay's had a couple, you know, don't, okay.
Sean McVay's got to do it for longer than 2 years.
Right, exactly. That was my point, right.
But he's the hot, sexy new toy. Everybody wants
and to get a ring. Get a ring.
Right. Oh, I'm talking about Super Bowls with you, huh?
Exactly.
Okay, one more.
All right. The next tweet from DJ Z says, the Hoodat chant in the stadium during the second quarter was by far the loudest I've ever heard in a game on TV. The crowd was on fire. I'm going to agree with that. That was awesome to see on TV. And then I loved it even more.
Did you see it or did you hear it?
Both. I saw. Okay. I heard it with my eyes. That's how loud it was. And then to see the offense all kind of like tell the crowd, oh, we love you, but like, could you shut the fuck up?
No, I know. Yeah. So it was, I love whenever the crowd spontaneously busts into the Hoodat chant. You know, we all do it now before the start of the game, you know, a new tradition, but when it happens during the game, it is awesome.
Yeah.
The only one thing, and you've heard me complain about it before, our fans aren't the brightest.
No, I got angry when they started doing the wave.
That's it. You can take it.
Near the end of the game, right, when we had the ball.
We had the ball, and we're doing the fucking wave. I mean, they don't understand.
They started it right in the section over from me. The dude's all happy. It makes all the way around. You celebrate. I'm like, we have the fucking ball, asshole.
Dude, but this part that you're winning
well,
so much, it's just a fucking
I know the game
party.
Was out of
it's
hand.
Mardi
it didn't
Gras.
Matter,
it's Mardi Gras at that point.
But still, it's the principle of the thing.
But there's not many games, like you said, there's not many games that you can just, like...
Well, do it on defense. That's all we're asking. We're not saying not to do the wave.
No, he's in the
moment,
man.
You're saying no when it's appropriate.
He's in the
moment. That's the difference between a sexual assault charge and consent.
I don't know if that's exactly right. Okay.
Well, I mean, you know, you have to know when you pull your penis out.
Or when not to.
And when not to. That's all it is. It's the same thing with the wave. You got to know when to do it and when not to do it.
The offense did not consent.
Right. The offense wasn't consenting. It was like, it's pretty quiet.
All right. You Ryan know? Cummings. Speaking of. Standout performer of the night other than Breeze.
Who? I mean, Tre'Quan Smith. Davenport. Fucking Cam Jordan is an animal.
Yeah, he got another sack. That's five now in the season.
Right. What's the lead in the season? Do you know? I want to say six.
What about Ingram?
Yeah, Ingram. Yeah, he played well. Again, his numbers weren't gaudy.
No, but he
had two touchdowns. He had that nice screen catch early in the game.
The game couldn't have been scripted better if it were a movie.
No, sir.
I mean, it was you know what it almost felt like? It felt like an Avengers movie where all of the superheroes had their moments. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. You had Iron Man. You got him done. All right, good. Now let's do Doctor Strange. All right, Captain America. Here you go. Black Panther. There you go. I mean, it was everybody. Everybody. It was the Avengers game.
Sack leader is six, so Jordan's only one behind.
All right, Big Easy Mafia says, for all three of you, who's the bigger bitch? MJD for his comments of not even top five quarterbacks talking about Breeze, or Josh Norman for his antics after the game with Michael Thomas.
MJD.
As much as I want to say Norman, because he was a little bitch, it's definitely MJD for just being a complete idiot bitch, yeah.
Right. Look, we can all understand why Josh Norman was upset. He got his ass whooped. Man's upset. He got his ass whooped.
Especially when they had the Twitter beef early into the morning this morning. Norman's afterwards deleted all of his tweets that he said, but him and Thomas were going back and forth.
Yeah.
Right. And then he said, I'm not going to even dignify that with response. Because you can't. You don't have a comeback. He set you down.
He got benched.
The coach said, sit down. You sit down because you suck.
Yeah. All right,
guys. Norman and I.
MJD because he had a bigger stage and no motivation, like no motive behind it. Like, why?
Right.
Why did he? Why? What is the purpose of that? That's so
maybe so someone will talk about him. You know, like we are.
He's got a small dick. All right. Jorge Herrera says last year it was the shutout in London before the bye. Is this Monday Night Football record night / beat down the perfect spark we need before this year's bye?
That'd be great. I mean, it's fourth win in a row.
Can't hurt.
Only thing is, right, last year we needed the spark. This year, it feels like we kind of already had the spark. This is just putting gasoline on a fire.
I mean, it's almost like, man, we're playing so well, I don't want the bye, but with Lattimore's concussion, we definitely need the bye right now.
And we've got a really, you know, probably the toughest schedule that I've seen. You know, out of any teams coming up.
The next four games, Baltimore, the Vikings, the Rams, and the Bengals.
And it's that is the last tweet from Saints Fan UK saying the next 3 to 4 games after the bye look to be toughest part of the schedule. What do you think? So what's the key to getting through it with a winning record?
Well, outscore your opponents. Ding!
We have a winner.
To see the continued improvement of Davenport, continue to force things on defense to help out the secondary. That's going to be the key.
Staying healthy, also, I would think is the key.
Yeah,
we can score on any defense. I mean, none of these defenses are world beaters coming up. I know the Rams have a good defense and Phillips is a great coordinator, but we're playing in the dome. So
right, well, look,
Minnesota is not as good as they were when we played against them last year, and we would have beat them last year had it not been for a single play.
We've had problems with Baltimore in the past. So
yeah, never beat them.
There you go. That's the tweets, and this is a big show. So let's get into pick'ems.
Stand up and shout.
So in Pick'ems, I continue my descent into hell. I went 1-4. My
opponent
was Pittsburgh. I should have never gave up on the Kansas City three-way. I think that just wrecked my whole week. You guys all like Kansas City. We all lost Philly. We all took Philly against Minnesota, and we all lost that one. And then Jeff was the only one to take Arizona, who outright beat the 49ers. And then I was the only one who took Houston, who did win the game but did not cover the spread of 3.5. They only won by 3. So Jeff went 4-1, and he now sits atop our standings at 16-8. And then Damon went 3-2, and he is 2 games back at 14-10. And I am under 500 at 11-13.
What's my overall record, Jeff?
Hold on, I'm pouring my beer into the glass.
Your fancy IPAs.
That's right.
All right. Showed up to my house to watch LSU game and had like a 6-pack of IPAs. I'm like, Jesus.
What a fucking.
Well, yeah.
They were. I'll have the autumnal mead.
Dilly dilly. All right. So the larger league Life of Ty remains at the top with Saints Fan UK not far behind. With Who Dat Fits, Big Easy Gajon, Dave Brink, Emmanuel 80, Miso Mad, Ryan Angier, Who Dat Chris, EJ, Preston Allen, Saints Europe, and then me. That's me in 13th place, if you're keeping track. Tied with Ash, actually, and we're both 16-8. Then you got Triple D Kennels, B. Bradley Nola, my two kids, both with a 12-7 record. So my kids have a better record than better winning percentage than Damon, Jason, and Greenbaum. Then James, Todd Bourgeois, Bull Smith, Davis Douglas, DJZ, Ryan Cummings, Wheels, Who Dat Fish, Ben Wright, Chris McGuire, Fuck the Falcons, Tom Ensign, Wayno, Desi, Matthew Pryor, Nick Energy, then Damon, Doug, 10-9, Neil, Sanctuary, all 10-9. Then we get to the 500s and below, which is Christian Mino, Eric Jaybird, Greenbaum, you are 500, 12-12. J.M. Klein,
woo!
Giovanni Turner, Random Thoughts, Jason, 11-13. So you're only one game behind Greenbaum. Gerald Booty, Mordecai, and Sans Hobbs. That is Hobbs.
But Jason was talking a lot of shit about Greenbaum the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes, he has.
I'm trying to give him a little confidence here. That's all.
All right.
I'm not worried. I got plenty of weeks to go.
All together, 57 people playing Pick'ems. Don't forget, tweet them in as long as I like your tweet in time. Well, actually, as long as you tweet it in time. I don't even have to like it. But I like it means it's been recorded. So what's our games this week, Jason?
All right. It's an interesting slate of games. And we also have our first London game of the season.
Oh. Bertie Cousins will be there, I'm sure.
But we'll start off our first game, the Los Angeles Chargers. Coming off a nice, easy win against Oakland last week. Travel to Cleveland to play a Browns team.
Ooh.
Who got their second win of the season. They sit there at 2-2-1 after beating the Ravens last week. This game's in Cleveland, and the Browns are getting 1 point at home.
The Chargers lost their owner today.
The 95-year-old.
Yeah, 95. Thanos.
But, I mean, I guess his son was kind of running things.
Yeah, right.
Did you say Thanos?
Sounded like it, didn't it?
It did.
I think I heard a snap.
Oh, shit.
All right, so the Browns, I mean, look, this is basic pick them 1 point. The Browns are the sexy pick. Everyone's pulling for Baker Mayfield and the Browns. But the Chargers are
both. This is a matchup of two shitty coaches. So it brings a lot more into play.
But, yeah, the Browns have momentum right now. I mean, granted, the Chargers are on a two-game win streak, too. But the Browns won at home. They're playing again at home. Baker Mayfield, they're a home dog. Man, this is a really baited pick. And I want to pick Cleveland, but good Lord, I can't pick Cleveland. They're not ready yet. I'm taking the Chargers.
I will follow you with that. I like Phillip Rivers.
I'll take the Browns.
Give me the Chargers.
Ooh.
Chargers?
Okay.
I've been picking with emotion. I need to just pick with emotion. All right, our next game, AFC North battle. The Pittsburgh Steelers coming off a nice thrashing of the 1-4 Atlanta Falcons.
Speaking of emotion.
The 1-4 last place Atlanta Falcons. So Pittsburgh.
Hold on. Cleveland has a better record than the Falcons. Just want to point
out. The Falcons and Cleveland, they'll have to play each other. And Cleveland will beat the Falcons.
That'd be great. So Pittsburgh coming to win, travels to Cincinnati to play a 4-1 Bengals team atop the division, coming off a win against Miami. This game in Cincinnati, and the Bengals are favored by 2.5.
I will take those Bengals.
I'm going to take Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is really hard to predict this year. 2.5, I would have expected Cincinnati to be giving up more than that.
Well,
man, this is tough.
Yeah.
Ben usually doesn't play well in a row, but he's kind of bucked that trend. They are going into their bye. I'm going to take the Steelers. Le'Veon Bell is supposed to be back out during the bye week, so I think John Connor is going to go off trying to keep his job. So I'm going Steeler.
You mean the Bengals. I've been a Bengals supporter all season. Stick with them.
How's that working out for you?
Eh.
Okay.
They haven't been the problem. It's been all the other teams.
So that's 2 for the Bengals and 2 for the Steelers, right?
All right, our next game. This is the game of the week. The 5-0 Kansas City Chiefs coming off a come-from-behind win against Denver Monday night last week, and then they played. Then they beat the Jaguars pretty handily, 30-14. This week, traveled to New England to play a Pats team who got Edelman back last week, and now all of a sudden things are right again in the world. It's the Sunday night game in New England, and the Pats are favored by 3.5.
Ooh, wow.
I'll go first on this one. Give me the Pats.
Model franchise.
Okay, so it's like they're coming off a bye, right?
I mean, they got a couple extra games off, extra days off because they played on Thursday.
Yeah, I'm taking the model franchise.
I'll make that a New England three-way.
All right, well, then I guess I'm going to have to take the Chiefs.
Oh! Bucking the system,
They're undefeated. They're getting 3.5 points.
All right, our next game. It's got a couple of good records and a couple of interesting teams, but this could be one of the most boring games of the weekend. The 3-2 Baltimore Ravens travel to Tennessee to play a 3-2 Tennessee Titans. Both teams coming off losses last week. The Ravens losing to the Browns in a 9-12 game, and then the Titans losing to the Bills in a 12-13 game. So, yeah, save your eyeballs. You don't want to be watching this game. This game is in Tennessee, and the Titans are getting 3 at home.
Give me Tennessee. It's going to be like a 6-3 game or something. It's going to be horrible.
I mean, man, the Ravens have been playing.
They're up and down.
Yeah, they definitely are. I mean, give me the home. I'm going to go with the home dog. I'll take the Titans.
I will go with the Ravens.
Would you consider that an emotional pick?
He's just doing that because I picked the Titans. He's trying to catch up.
It's an emotional pick.
I'll need to catch up to Jeff. I need Jeff to go with Tennessee.
So, well, then I have some bad news. I'm going to stick with you, actually, with Baltimore, simply because Baltimore has scored a hell of a lot more points. So,
all right, and now for our shitty match of the week.
Here we go. Of shit car, I got a piece of shit car. That fucking pile of shit never gets me very far.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Yeah, you did. We have our London game. Sorry, these are the dregs that we decided to send you guys for the first game. The 2-3 Seattle Seahawks, who actually gave it a pretty decent go against the Rams last week, only lost by 2. Travel to London. It's interesting. 2 West Coast teams. Travel to London to play the Oakland Raiders, who are coming off a 26-10 loss to the Chargers. They're sitting at 1-4. Chucky is not working out. Boy, they could sure use Khalil Mack right about now.
It's so funny at his press conferences. Like, I just don't know where we can find a good defensive player to rush the passer.
Right, I don't know where.
Fucking idiot.
All right, so this game is in London. Don't know what stadium. I guess it doesn't matter. And Oakland is getting 3.
I mean, these are 2 shitty teams.
That's why we kicked them to another country. Once again, sorry, fellas.
Give me the Sea Chickens.
I don't know. I'm kind of leaning in that direction, too. You are, too?
Yep.
I'm on the bandwagon. Damon?
Give me the Raiders.
I don't think there was a consensus on any picks.
You're correct.
No, there was not.
There was not. Just goes to show you. We're all wrong sometimes. Just some of
us. Some more than others.
Yeah. That's right. Alrighty. So that is Pick'ems. Don't forget, get them in before the games start. And because there is no Saints game next week, we will not be doing Saints preview, which is appropriate considering how long we talked about everything else tonight. Scott, you did. Is there anything else that you needed to drop on us? Because you did make some promises about some top secret intel.
I wasn't top secret intel. I just said some info. No, I'm good. I got everything in.
Oh.
That was it.
So
we wouldn't have had you on if that's all
lied
you had.
Okay.
Yeah. Jeff, can we cut this part out?
Yeah.
There are a few little nuggets that I have, but I'm gonna save them so y'all have me back.
We're not gonna have you back. No. Fool us once, shame on us. Fool us twice, shame on you.
Hey, I gave you the Columbus Day shit. That was pretty fucking good.
You're welcome to stay amongst me and my tribe for the night. Until the spirits leave you. And they gave me my own teepee to sleep in. Which sounds nice. I personally felt like it was a little fucked up. Because they all had houses, man. It's like, why can't I sleep with y'all in the house and watch TV? I can't be on this grass all night.
That was highly offensive. Yes, it was.
Exactly. That was racist.
What kind of a show do you think this is?
I don't know. Damon had his rant with the Indians. I figured he'd like it. I don't know. I had maybe Michael Thomas wore the ski mask because he sneezed into it and it gave it to one of the Redskins. I don't know. Some kind of cold wiped him out. I don't know.
Guns, germs, and steel. Drew Brees with the guns. Thomas with the germs. Harris with the steel. There you go.
I heard Harris and Terry Bridgewater went out after the game. Had some beers.
Are you serious or is that a thing? Or are you just now you're just making jokes?
I said Terry Bridgewater and Harris. Follow along, Jeff.
I missed it. Damn it. With that, that's all the show we have for you. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. Like us on Twitter or follow us on Twitter at... Did I just say Twitter twice?
You did.
Yep.
Like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol Podcast. And if you don't listen to us on your podcast app, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Dome Patrol Podcast. And speaking of podcasts, that we are on Stitcher now. So in case you're deciding to leave, whatever you're listening, right? Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, Peyton Manning donkeys.
Thanks, guys, for having me again. Who dat?
Good night, Who Dat Nation. I've been working my whole life.
Courage I possess through the drama. H is for the hurt, but it's all for the honor. A is for my attitude, working through the patience. Money comes and goes, so the M is for motivation. Gotta stay consistent, the P is to persevere. The I is for integrity, innovative career. The O is optimistic, open and never shut. And the N is necessary, cause I'm never giving up. See, they ask me how I did it, I just did it from the heart. Crushing the competition, been doing it from the start. They say that every champion is all about his principles. Carry.